It's been a really bad week if you're flying. Over 8,000 U.S. flights have been delayed because of the air traffic controls, absences because of the shutdown.
Okay.
Normally, this week is the busiest week for holiday booking travel. And knowing that there's so many issues right now, do you still go? Do you still book your flight?
Yeah, I would still go. I mean, it's not like they're falling out of the sky left and right. That was 6 months ago.
Oh, that was different times.
Yeah,
yeah, we're past that now.
Sorry to make light of that, but seriously, I feel pretty good about air travel most of the times. As far as air traffic controllers going, I hate delays. Luckily, I haven't experienced a ton of that.
Okay, one of these delays they were talking about was 11 hours.
Yeah.
And when you're off a plane for 11 hours, it's one thing.
Yes.
One time I got stuck on a tarmac for 7 hours.
They're not supposed to be able to do that.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's different rules now, because I was in college. I was on a Hooters flight. Believe it or not, back in the day,
Hooters had an airline. Yeah.
And I flew it for spring break with my college friends.
When you think about overhead storage, you think about Hooters.
Yeah.
The worst for me, I think, experience as far as delays was we got on and off the plane like 3 times. We got on another plane and then they ended up canceling it because they didn't have enough crew members. And again, that had been a whole process throughout the day. And I got nothing. I got a rescheduled flight the next day.
Yeah, I've never been able to claim anything. One time they gave me a $50 credit. But I'm looking at this because today they came out the top 10 airport snacks in America.
Okay.
So when you're bored and delayed and just sitting at the airport waiting for your flight, going to those Hudson News or going to those places where you can get a snack is like the only thing you can look forward to.
Yeah. And it's huge, huge money. I do have snacks that I travel with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be like going to the movies. And if that started late, right? Like the biggest challenge is don't eat all your stuff before the movie actually starts.
Right.
So if you, eat all your snacks before the plane actually leaves, that's a problem. What do you travel with?
So I don't travel with anything. I figure it out as I go.
What?
But if there's something I want when I get to the airport, I'll buy it.
Yeah, you'll splurge. You don't care.
Yeah, the top three airport snacks that get people through the day. Cheeto Puffs. Number two is Jack Link's beef jerky.
Oh my gosh.
And number one is Oreos. Oreos I always have in my purse when I travel because my little one loves them.
Okay, Oreos is good. Number two and number three, jerky and Cheetos Puffs. Think about what that's doing to people's hands and fingers. And then it's touching all these public surfaces. No, thank you. They get on the plane. They got Cheeto dust on their fingers.
Yeah, it's bad.
They got jerky smell on their hands. I don't like any of that. It explains a lot, but I don't dig that. I'm a peanut M&M guy.
Mm.
A bag of Fritos. A couple granola bars.
I mean, that sounds normal. Do you know what I got last time? You can't make fun of me.
Mm.
My airport started selling out of a vending machine salads, but they come in real jars. So that gimmick enough got me.
A salad in a jar
that came out of a vending machine at an airport. When I tell you, it was one of the most delicious salads.
Is that right?
I got on the plane, I ate it, and I thought I would just, when I get home, I'm going to grab one to bring home for dinner.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, today's a weird day. Trending is brought to you by AT&T, a network that is making connections for Americans. Connecting changes everything. Learn more at att.com. A bunch of alien sites claim that aliens can make their first contact today.
Why would it be today?
Just I don't,
make me understand, because you know I'm down with the aliens.
Because there is a ship that's in the intergalactic sea? Does that make sense?
No.
No.
Not at all.
Here's a Harvard scientist explaining.
Thank you.
Is 3i Atlas alien technology. We're targeting the inner solar system, and you know it will pass closest to the sun on October 29th. Now, it could be a mothership that releases mini probes, you know, that they come to Earth.
What?
Mini probes.
It could be the mothership that's going to do mini probes? Why did he say that like this is factual information that nobody should be somewhat concerned?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the probes have been here before, too, so that's not really news. Why would today be the day that they reveal themselves? Is he talking about
interstellar
object?
Hold on.
Is 3i Atlas alien technology?
Yeah.
3i Atlas is in the inner solar system today.
We had two of these things come through in the last like few years. We just started spotting these things. They're interstellar, like it's not a comet, but it's like, you know, a rock that behaves weird.
Well, the rock that behaves weird.
They're saying it could be aliens.
Could be aliens that probe you.
Yeah.
So I guess prepare yourself. Today's the day.
Yeah. Well, if you wanted to get probed, today could be an exciting time for you. So good luck.
Okay. What's weirder? The fact that today may be the day that aliens take over and we're all supposed to just gloss over that fact and the fact that they didn't give us any heads up?
Yeah.
Like maybe tell us last week so we could have went on vacation or taken the day off.
Made a plan anyway.
Something.
Started digging a bunker.
Or the fact that there was a truck carrying research monkeys that crashed on a Mississippi highway and all the monkeys got loose. Here's the 911 call.
We got 21 monkeys that was on this truck. We got 5 of them on the run.
Do you need some assistance?
Hold on, time out.
5 monkeys are on the run.
But listen, if you say we just crashed and there's 21 monkeys that escaped, the 911 responded, do you need assistance? What do you think the answer to that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we need assistance. There's 21 monkeys on the run. Hold on, it continues.
Is he saying monkeys? Yeah, so they're going to be some rhesus monkeys. They're not a whole lot aggressive, but they got game official going to come. They may have a trick. They can assist out here, too. We're just going to stand by.
That's the professional that's in charge of these 21 monkeys. Sad state of affairs. Research monkeys with STDs are out there running the countryside.
Now, okay,
what are we doing terrible to these monkeys somewhere?
The backstory behind this.
But come on.
The backstory is that Tulane University says it's not true. So these monkeys reportedly have hepatitis, herpes, and COVID.
Oh my gosh.
And
are we doing? What are we going for a trifecta over there? They're like, this is going to be a fun combination. Let's see what happens.
Let's infect these 21 monkeys.
Oh, this is
put them on a truck.
Sad and sick.
And then see what happens. But they're saying that's not true. Tulane is saying that.
Well, of course they would say it's not true. they don't want to create a public, hysteria. They don't want people going crazy over this thing. I'm guessing it's probably true. If you see a monkey, do not approach.
There's 3 monkeys still on the loose as of right now. So if you see the monkey, don't hug it, I guess.
You know what? Again, this goes to ANI's policy is that when an animal breaks out of circumstances, if they make it more than a quarter mile,
they go. They're free now.
We believe that they're free now. Now, I don't want to incorporate, herpes carrying coronavirus monkeys into our daily lives.
Tulane says it's not true.
No, we have to give them an island or something. That's what we have to do. So,
well, I hope it's a nice island.
Somebody provide a plane and allow these monkeys a route of escape. Thank you.
Astronomers have detected an interstellar object called 3I Atlas, which is coming from outside our solar system. And today's the day where aliens may arrive.
It's pretty crazy. I think this is one of those theories that the dude with the big hair on the History Channel would be talking about. But I guess anything's possible. And I'm down for the aliens, Anna. So if they're arriving today, here I am. What's up?
The experts at Harvard say that
now it could be a mothership that releases mini probes, that they come to Earth.
Yeah, just the mothership that's going to release the mini probes on us. No big deal.
What if the mothership came down right now, though? A lot of people would want to run and scurry.
Or they would hide. Top 5 places you're going to hide when the mothership arrives today, the aliens. 1-800-330-9999. Number 5, Olivia.
Under my stairs, there's like this little closet, like weirdly shaped. I go in there all the time to hide from my family when I need peace and quiet.
Does your family think you're nuts?
Like a troll.
Because you're just randomly hiding underneath the stairs? It's not like you're 7 anymore.
I tell them I was looking for something and I accidentally closed the door behind myself. It works every time.
It's funny.
It's amazing what we'll do to escape, right?
All right. Number 4, Jason.
Under my bed.
Nobody will ever look there.
No one thinks to find or even look for somebody under the bed, especially an adult. So I go hide under a bed, I rest, I release.
I was going to say, first thought, if you put me like horizontal like that and I am, stuck there for a certain amount of time, I'll fall asleep. Whether the game is going on, whether it's from actual terror or whatever, if I'm laying flat and it's peaceful and I'm trying to lie still, I'm going to bed.
So, just find you there hours later?
Unless somebody comes in there and jumps on the bed. That's always the backfire you don't see coming.
Jacinta, number 3, where do you go to hide?
Church. No one bothers you when you're praying to the Lord. They just leave you at peace and they leave you alone.
It's true. Anytime you go to church, no one says a word. You're like, where are you going, church? All right, that's it.
At least with the family, probably they'll leave you alone. Mine, anyways.
Number 2, Victor.
I made the wise decision to invest in an RV, and so far it hasn't left my driveway. When I need a little space, it's like my personal man cave. Lock that door, and I got some time.
And if it's modern times, Anna, and you got it plugged in, you got television and air conditioning in there. So that's a pretty good idea. I got one for number one.
All right, go ahead. Number one, Raven.
Cemetery.
Oh.
When you go to hide at the cemetery, nobody will look there, number one. Number two, nobody questions when you come back. Where were you? I was at the cemetery. Nobody can say a word.
Right. They're like, oh, okay.
Right.
That's all right.
Because they don't know if you're upset. They don't know if you're good. They don't know any of that stuff. You could have been there taking a nap. They have no idea. Aliens will never look there.
Scary ingredients. Way too many syllables.
It's that time of year again, that spooky time of fear again.
It's time for Halloween Candy Autopsy with Anna and Raven.
Hi, Anna and Raven. Who's this?
This is Anna.
Well, that'll be easy to remember. Hi, Anna. Today we're playing Candy Autopsy for your opportunity to pick up a Target gift card. That'll help with those candy expenses coming up here for the holiday. This is easy. Anna's going to describe for you a candy, a very popular one. Guess correctly which candy it is off those ingredients. Now the big part is she gets to do it in her witch voice.
Okay.
It's painful for me, really, but I hope you enjoy it.
Anna, do you like my spooky witch voice?
Love it. I'm here for it.
Oh, see?
Okay.
I told you the people love it.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Anna, listen very carefully to the ingredients. Sugar. Corn syrup. Chocolate.
Yummy.
Cocoa. Invert sugar.
Whatever that is.
Milk fat.
Yummy.
Egg whites. Cocoa butter. Lecithin.
Oh, lecithin. I'm a big fan of that. Yep.
Oil of peppermint. Oil of peppermint.
I feel like that one's important. Yeah.
And natural flavor.
I doubt that, but okay.
Anna.
Wait, what was that last you said before natural flavor?
PG.
PGPR, which means nothing to any of us.
I was going
to
say, right. Like, I mean, you a PGPR expert, Anna? You don't know anything about that?
Come nope.
She's like, repeat that.
I don't.
Anna, what do you think this candy is?
What is it going to be?
Is it Junior Mint?
Oh, it's a peppermint patty. Anna, why?
Oh,
why?
I don't know.
Why?
Oh, no.
Here's the thing. I'm going to give you the gift card anyway.
What?
Because you said you liked my voice.
Oh, my. This is ridiculous.
And I get to make those decisions.
This is terrible. Terrible. Well, hold on, Anna. We're going to give you it to you anyway.
Yeah, thank you.
Junior Mint. What?
Happy Halloween!
Everybody's had a Ouija board at one point, or as they originally called it, the talking board. John Kozit is the owner of the Salem Witch Board Museum. You probably know more about these Ouija boards than anybody in the whole world.
I know a lot, that's for sure. I think a lot of people come to the museum because they're amazed at just how much someone can know about a subject.
It's interesting to me, John, because what I remember being a kid as a teenager, you know, there was a couple movies that scared me, the premise, obviously. But then when I played or came across a board, I was like, well, how real could it really be if it's from Milton Bradley? But in your museum, it's not like all of them are from a game piece or whatever. And before you even elaborate on this, I mean, obviously, if somebody taps into something from the other side, that can be dangerous no matter who's making it. But what is the craziest Ouija board you have?
Well, I mean, I'm an obsessed collector, so I really love some of the oldest boards that are here. But I think since we're gearing up towards Halloween here, I think I'll tell you about some of the donated boards to the museum. And one of them in particular surprises people. It's a Stranger Things board that was donated. It's mailed away without a return address with just a note inside that says, if you find it, forward it to John. Trust me, you don't want it.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That goes with one of my questions, is that if you have one of these boards that you think has brought evil demons into your home, like, how do you get rid of it? So you just accept all these boards? Like, that's where you do? You house them?
I sell it to a friend.
My experience is with being a member of the Talking Board Historical Society that if you give it to anyone willing to take it, whatever problems you've had tend to go away. We have about 30 boards that have been donated over the years, to which 28 times I've followed up with those people and problems have gone away when the boards went away. 29, there's that board that didn't have the return address. And there's one time where things went on for a little bit longer. It's a pretty notorious board here. When I picked it up at the post office, the postal worker along the way had written on the outside of the box, "Careful, salt is leaking." And inside was a Ouija board wrapped in a black shroud with a copy of the New Testament and about 5 pounds of salt.
That keeps them isolated. Yeah.
Yeah, protection or, like, you know, confining evil to a space. But yeah, they had claimed all sorts of crazy things about the son was speaking in tongue. He after he used the Ouija board, he was clawing and eating the furniture.
Oh.
That one, after we received it, the problems went on for about 3 months later. Eventually, the son was committed to a mental institution.
Oh my gosh.
So that would be the most extreme of all of them, with the salt being sent with it.
John, what's the oldest board that you have there?
Oh, the oldest one in the museum is from 1890, and it's one of only 5 known to exist. It's pre-Ouija. It's when they were just called witch boards, but that's the oldest. 1890. Anything older would be homemade.
And from what I understand, 1890 is really when they first were created, right? And why? Do you know why they were created in the first place? Did the people that created them make it as, you know, a gimmick, or was it truly to reach and talk to people on the other side?
Well, yeah, it was. They were homemade, you know, post-Civil War, after everyone had lost a family member and they wanted to reconnect with them. During that time where seances and pendulum, tarot, and all these different things are kind of being used to speak to deceased loved ones, well, the talking board kind of evolves from these two devices. And it's not until 1890 when finally a businessman in Baltimore thinks he can make a little money off of it, and he produces the witch board, to which a few months later, a woman named Helen Peters asked the board what it wanted to be called, and it spelled back Ouija. And then she asked, what does it mean? The board spelled back good luck.
John, would you suggest somebody buy one if they were interested and wanted to have one?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people should remember it's all about your intent. And certainly if you want to do something stupid with any item, I think something stupid can happen. But I think they're safe. I think of them much like a cell phone. So you wouldn't break or burn it with a bad conversation. You would hang up. That's how I view the Ouija board. So, yes, if you want to use it, I would suggest setting your intent and using it.
John Kozit, the owner of the Salem Witch Board Museum. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for the insight, John.
He has one dream. That dream is for trick-or-treaters to come to his home, and it's never going to happen.
You know what, Anna? I don't want to sound like 1,000 years old, but I'm just going to say this, all right? They don't do it like they used to.
Oh, really?
When I grew up in a neighborhood, there were literally hundreds of kids coming through. We would go through 2 pillowcases, filling them up. And even as a teenager, after when I would hand out that candy, it got to a point where I was just tired. There were so many kids coming around. And now it's just sad at my house.
Babe, what's the saddest part of Halloween at our house?
When kids don't come.
Yeah. How many kids do you think we got last year?
Greg's grandkids. It was like 3.
Yeah.
That was it?
Yeah, I think so.
It's like 3 kids showed up last year. And those kids, let's be honest, they're hostage.
Yep.
Their grandparents live next door.
They have to go.
They're 100% obligated to go. And we'll get to it in a minute, why I'm fearful of that being a thing this year. But you heard at the end, my wife says, oh, it's going to be better this year. What? How?
How's it going to be better?
Well, all the babies on the street and grandbabies on the street.
Yeah, but these grandbabies don't drive. They're not driving their friends over here. They're like, you know, the babies are
they have multiple grandkids and a new grandbaby. We have a grandbaby 2 houses down. Him and Jaden are 2 weeks apart.
Yeah.
They got a baby over there.
So listen, it's great. There's babies in the neighborhood. We've got more babies coming into the neighborhood. Here's the thing about babies. They don't know what they're wearing. Again,
babies can't say trick or treat.
They don't say trick or treat.
They don't walk.
They don't walk up to the door themselves. They don't ring the doorbell. They don't run across your yard. Nothing. They wheel them up for a minute. And plus, they're done at like 5:40.
True.
So I asked, what are we going to do?
Better decorations.
I mean, we do lights, we do fog, we're going to do a movie outside on the side of the house. I do the projection of the jack-o'-lantern and all that.
I'm putting forward a good effort here.
Yeah.
A real good effort. I asked my daughter-in-law, what is it we're going to do?
Marissa, how can we get more kids to come to our neighborhood?
Promote it, like Facebook, but I don't know if that's the best option.
Right, you probably don't want those people here.
Right.
Maybe talk to your neighbors.
Tell them to find friends, find family.
Yeah, bring them in, basically, is what we're going
to
do.
I don't think that's a bad idea.
So I went out and I talked to Mark about exactly what it is that he think is going wrong in our neighborhood.
It's, if you look down the street from the beginning of the street, if I was driving by, I'd be like, not enough lights on. I'm going to keep going. They don't start down there. Us down here, we're fun. Down there, they don't bring enough. Offer king-size, famous king bars. We do
full-size. I'm planning on it again this year.
No.
Yes.
One time.
Why one time?
By the way, I had a full argument with my wife yesterday in Costco about full-size candy bars. Here's my neighbor, Mark.
I don't know. The neighborhood isn't the same anymore, so we don't have too many kids to begin with. And when people come from other neighborhoods, there's not a lot of people that hand out candy anymore on our street. So I think we just got to give them more. And they'll start spreading the message.
It sounds sad, doesn't it?
I mean, the fact that your neighbors know that this is a problem, too.
Yeah.
It's a tough call because, you know, I came from, my old house was a street that was known, and we had three to 400 trick-or-treaters every single year.
Yeah.
My new home is very rural, and we don't get a single one. I don't know if you can recruit. There's only one thing I think you can do.
What's that?
And I think it's right. You have to become the house known for the decorations. But it's now you only have 2 days left. I don't know.
I mean, I don't have time for that acquisition. I asked Mark again, what?
So if we get five kids, each kid leaves with a half ton of candy, basically, is what you're saying.
Yep. Pile it in their bag. Just keep giving them more candy.
Are you a full size or a fun size?
No, I like the full size.
Yeah.
Yeah, give them their money's worth.
Yeah.
Especially the good costumes will give them a little extra.
So if you're coming to the Ridge, all right, on Friday, full-size candy bars, all right, and decorations.
Okay,
and
I don't think it's enough.
And Halloween for the adults.
Listen, if you have a better idea, we'll take your better ideas. We'll talk about this over the next few days, and let's see if we could actually get some kids there. Ideas to get more people at Raven's House. You can call 1-800-330-9999.
When did you almost die?
Oh, man, really?
Well, your near-death experience. Now, you can mean literally or figuratively what happened. Mm. They've been doing a whole lot of research about this, and what they found is that 4 to 8% of the general population have had an NDE, near-death experience, in their life.
4 to 8%.
Yeah, that could be like up to 300 million people across the world.
I mean, that's a lot of people there. I mean, I feel like I've had like four in my lifetime alone. So
really?
Some people are more...
When did you think you were only, you thought you were going to die, Raven?
Well, there was the time that I had brain surgery when I got hit in the head with an axe handle. That was pretty big.
How did that happen?
The violent encounter, Los Angeles downtown.
Okay.
A completely random situation.
That's
but yes.
Terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I won that fight, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, some people would argue,
yeah,
Raven.
Right. That's the point of that one there. But yeah, woke up the next day with my head like the size of a volleyball. They were like, you went to sleep like that?
Oh, my
gosh. You should be dead. Mm. And then they brought in a priest. And then I had surgery. And look at me. Now I'm fine.
Yeah. Some people report seeing bright lights, feeling detached from their body, or just a sense of peace.
I was submerged in the ocean.
Were you?
Yeah,
That's how you felt?
Yep.
That's so terrifying and scary, right?
It's weird, huh?
Yeah, sometimes you get in these situations when you believe you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. I'm going to die. What happened to you? 1-800-330-9999. Chandra.
Thank God. Yes. So I'm anemic and I was really tired. I went to the doctor and long story short, they told me my iron was so low that I almost needed a blood transfusion.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
You needed somebody to be a vampire for you.
Yes.
You needed to take a bite out of somebody. What's the most like shocking number or thing that you've ever had with medical tests? Because the last time before my doctor sat me down like about 4 months ago and was like, okay, we need to make some changes. My triglycerides were literally like five times what they're supposed to be.
Well, I mean, yes.
They were like 400 something.
Yeah.
That's very bad.
I've had a lot
of
terrible things that are not that funny happen medically. But,
sure.
I mean, when Hayden tried to kill me, when she was born,
yeah.
my older daughter, I had very similar to you, Mary, I had postpartum eclampsia. After I gave birth, blood stopped going to my brain. So at night, like I would have these terrible headaches and I couldn't shake the headache. And finally, my doctor was like, just come in. They took my blood pressure. they took my husband out of the room and they say you'll be able to get her to the emergency room faster than we'll be able to get an ambulance here.
That's scary.
There was a whole team waiting for me.
Right.
And I had a mercury drip for like 3 days. I was seeing triple. I was on another planet, but I was very close to having a stroke.
That's scary.
It is. Like, you can't. It's weird when those weird medical things happen.
Here's my level of triglycerides. Last test, 547.
What does that mean? You have to eat. Stop eating salami?
It's bad.
Is it has to do with like cholesterol?
But borderline high is 150 to 199.
Are you alive right now?
I am.
Oh, that's good.
I am stronger than that.
1-800-330-9999. When did you, figuratively or literally, almost die? When did you almost die? There's been new research that near-death experiences have gone way up.
Way up.
300 million people across the world say that they've had an experience. When did you almost die? 1-800-330-9999. Martin.
All right. So it's 2006. I'm part of a research group in college. And my professor sends me, a group of fellow researchers, and my girlfriend. We all went to China to do a project. And we go around to this mall, and we have a good time at the mall. It's the end of the day. It's time to go back to our hotel. So our guide puts me, my girlfriend, and two of us other Americans into a taxi, speaks Chinese to the driver, and sends us off. So we're driving down. Nobody can understand this driver. Nobody knows where we're going.
Sure.
And imagine this, going the wrong direction. So we're on this major highway, going the wrong direction. We're looking at lights coming directly at us.
Nice.
The driver starts cackling maniacally. He's laughing like you've never heard before. Swerving, these cars are swerving at the last instant. We're going like 60 miles an hour.
I mean,
like playing chicken on the highway nonstop.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
We're all screaming. The guy in the front literally has his feet up on the dashboard. Like, everybody's terrified. Finally, I don't know what happened or why, but the driver decides he's going to pull off, makes a U-turn, and then he brings us to a hotel where we were all staying.
I mean, so...
Did you tip? That's what I want to know.
No,
what did
I hope
you tip?
Did you tip?
I definitely tip.
We didn't tip, but I swear to God, one of the people actually did kiss the ground.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Oh, I did that after I got on the wrong bus in Cancun.
Oh, when I was in Cancun, our driver went the wrong way down a one-way too.
Yeah.
But he realized that he didn't do it on purpose like this crazy person. And then he laughed and he called himself a Mexican Jackie Chan. Which I said, that's not a real thing. Please bring us back to the hotel.
Seems offensive.
I know.
To everybody involved.
I know.
Jackie Chan,
but
China,
all of a sudden,
Mexico.
I look up. I'm like, those cars are coming at us, sir. You
know? Thank you for sharing,
The kicker was the way this guy was laughing. It was right out of a horror movie. Just maniacally, cackling.
Well, yeah.
I'm glad you survived, Martin.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
Hey, Ava, tell us about the time that you almost died, but you didn't.
I did not. I lived to tell the tale. When I was 6 years old, we were in Thailand, me and my family. And my mother had food such as apple, banana, and tram mix in her backpack. We were, I think outside of the hotel, and we attracted, because of the food, a large amount of macaw monkeys. Oh. Very aggressive. They could rip you apart.
Yes.
They wanted the food. My mother didn't give it to them, and they started chasing us, a group of 12 or more.
Oh, my God.
So they chased us across the hotel, just a large group of monkeys. And if they caught us, I knew they could easily rip us apart.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was...
That is terrifying.
So you remember that, huh?
You were being chased by monkeys.
You remember that?
It was, yes. And my poor brother, he had, for the next 8 years, he was traumatized. 3 years later, we went to India and we visited the monkey temple. Yeah. And he clung to my father's leg like a little girl, just crying. It's like, I don't want to go near the monkeys.
Yeah, man. I mean,
do you blame?
Tell your mom to just stay away from monkeys
from now on. 100%.
I mean, not for nothing. I'm sure she's a wonderful woman, and it sounds like you had a life of travel, which is great, and culture, but... But
yeah,
what the hell?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Leave the apple.
Yeah,
right?
Ava.
Give up the apple.
I'm glad you lived to tell that story. That's terrifying.
Yes.
These stories are amazing.
I know. And coming up after Can't Beat Raven, we're going to talk to a gentleman who died twice.
In one day.
Yeah, that's crazy. And if you have a story too, your near-death experience, we want to hear it. 1-800-330-9999. Your near-death experience.
It's crazy.
They say that 300 million people across the world have had a near-death experience. What was yours? 1-800-330-9999. John, what happened?
Lucky to be alive. I was driving in my Porsche Carrera on the way to Rochester, New York, doing probably 75 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. It was a little rainy and cold and sleety, and my car hit some sort of a puddle or ice patch and spun around, and I did two 360s and steered out of it, didn't go up the side of the road, and when I stopped, I was in the middle of the road facing a tractor trailer.
Oh, my God.
I thought I was gone.
Oh, my God. And, well, obviously, he able to stop, or you were able to get out of his way quick enough as well.
He changed lanes.
And you just sat there and shook for a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and now it's an SUV for me.
Oh, my gosh, that's so scary.
Yeah, I can do a Honda Accord now.
Yeah. Thanks, John. I'm glad everything is all right.
Hey, Michael, tell us about that time you almost died, but you didn't.
I was at work. I worked at a hospital. I wasn't feeling well, so I went down to the emergency room to see a doctor. He ordered a CAT scan, and it turns out I'm allergic to CAT scan contrast, so I died on the CAT scan table. Then after the CAT scan, they found my problem, so they put me into emergency surgery. And as it turns out, I'm allergic to latex. Also, latex was in the air of the operating room, so I had another allergic reaction, and I died then. So I jokingly tell people that I've died more times than they lived.
That's amazing. And you were working in a hospital, and you didn't discover this until you were in these emergency situations. Insane.
No, it turns out my allergy to latex was because of where I worked in the hospital, because I worked in the operating room.
Oh, my God. Did you see the light, Michael, or no?
No, I just had the best sleep of my life.
That's right. A nice nap.
Well, I'm glad you're all right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Hi, Merlin. Tell us, what is that your near-death experience? What was the story? You almost died? What happened?
Okay. No, I think I did, because I was in the hospital after the birth of my son, and I was in so much pain. The pain was so bad, even the hair on my head hurt.
Yeah.
And I remember no one was in the room, and I was calling for the nurse. I was calling for help. Nobody came. But then I realized why nobody came, because I was now looking at my body that was on the bed. I was floating to the roof.
Oh, you were definitely dead. Yeah, you were definitely dead for a minute.
When you see yourself above yourself, I've seen enough movies that means that you're dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're screaming and nobody comes because they can't hear you because your mouth ain't moving.
All right, Merlin, obviously you're okay. What happened?
Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, now I'm watching these nurses rushed into the hospital room, and I heard when one of them said, drop her, because I was in a sitting position. And I saw them working on my body, doing CPR on my body. When I left my body, it was like ease. But when I went back in my body, it was like a suction that pulled me back into my body.
Wow.
That's crazy. Like, well, thank God you're okay.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm okay. It's been a while now, but I'm okay.
That's
so
crazy.
I still have that near-death experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing it, Merlin, and now I have a new fear unlocked. Great, thank you.
Have a great day.
1-800-330-9999, your near-death experience. What happened? Your near-death experience. Turns out 300 million people worldwide have a story about a time that they almost died.
I mean, I knew that when we started talking about it was going to be interesting, but the amount of people that are calling with these crazy stories, it's wild.
Yes. What happened to you when you almost died? 1-800-330-9999. Kristen.
So I had just graduated high school. This is way back then. And I went to a party at this massive house. Well, the cops came and busted the party. So we're all running, right? Some people go in the woods, and I decided I had just got my toes done, so I'm going to go hide in the house somewhere. So I go up in this top floor. It's a big house, remember? So it's a normal door that I run through. Turns out when I run through, it's an attic, and I plummeted straight through the flooring. And below the attic, it's like a 20-foot drop. I landed in the garage, so pure concrete, and I shattered my coccyx. I broke my back. It was a total of 11 bones that I broke.
Because she was running from the 5-0.
I was on bed rest for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was on bed rest for 6 months. I had to learn how to rewalk. Couldn't go to college right away. It was a whole thing, but I didn't hit my head and I didn't die.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. And you are famous in your town.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that story.
People came in the hospital and signed, like, my brace, like, yeah.
Full body brace.
Right, right. They're signing next to your pelvic bone. That's nice. You break your coccyx. That's an embarrassing signature right there. It's your first lower back tattoo. It's on your cast.
Yeah. Thanks, Kristen. I'm glad you're okay.
Your first tattoo.
Thank you.
Brittany, when you almost died, but you didn't.
So there's been a few times that I almost died. I had brain surgery twice.
Oh, I had a craniotomy myself.
I have a shunt that failed.
Oh, my gosh.
They were going to do just a routine procedure where they go up through the groin into the brain and place stents in my neck and in my brain.
I mean, anytime they go from your groin to your brain, like, that ain't routine.
To them, it is.
Right.
So they ended up cutting off my allergy band and gave me meds that I was allergic to. And I ended up with a really bad nosebleed and I was choking on my own blood.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's not good.
It took about 3 hours for them to get the bleeding to stop and get me all cleaned up, and I got discharged the following day.
The following day.
Gosh.
I mean, that's what's crazy about today healthcare. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
it's
they find the leak, right? It's like if it was an engine, they put a screw in, and then I guess you were back to, you know, going back to it yesterday. Well, I'm so glad that you're still with us.
Sarah, when did you almost die, but you didn't?
I was a new driver, and I was a little bit too cocky because I had, like, this little sports car.
Nobody's ever been arrogant behind
the wheel
of that.
I had only had it for about 2 months. So I was hanging out with some friends driving home at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning. And we were following our friend who had a brand new Camaro. He decides to just open it up and floor it and gone. Me having this new little sports car, I was like, oh, you know, let's see what she can do. Let's open her up.
Right, right.
And, we came up on a really, really sharp curve, and my front tire went off the front of the road, went down an embankment, and hit a tree in the woods.
Good
call.
Oh,
my gosh. Right. I mean, obviously, everything was okay.
And, by the way, all turns look really, really, really sharp at 110 miles per hour.
Correct, when you're driving.
Lesson learned there. We're glad you're
Thanks,
still with
Sarah.
Us.
Thanks, Sarah. We're glad everything worked out.
Sharing. It's like a how-to manual of things not to do.
Mm-hmm.
One couple.
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, so.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us and let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/Anna and Raven. Amber and Damien. Amber, let's start with you. What's going on?
So our 17-year-old is want to have a Halloween party. She loves Halloween. Like about 50 kids in the backyard. She said no one will come into the home. It won't be, you don't have to worry about anyone like trash in the house. It'll be, everything will be outdoors. My husband doesn't agree. He thinks that it's going to go bad. He thinks the worst of things. He's not, you know, optimistic at all. He's just like, no, a bunch of teenagers, terrible. They're going to break something. So he's saying, no, I think it's nothing wrong with it. I think you only live once. Mm. They're teenagers. Why not?
Okay. Wait a minute. So you guys would be home or not home? Because you said that they're not going to come in the house. But are you guys going to be in the house?
See, the thing is, we won't, because I actually have a Halloween party that me and him is going to go to attend that night. But I have cameras, so I figured that, you know, I trust her. She haven't done anything to break my trust, so I don't see the problem.
50 kids, when you're not home on Halloween night that are 17, is a terrifying thought
for
me.
It's a scary premise for some.
Yeah.
Damien, what's your side of this?
I mean, it's absolutely unfathomable. 50 kids that are 17 in a backyard with no adults home.
Yeah.
You don't think that one of those kids is going to bring something or someone, or there are a million things that can go wrong. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to drink. Someone's going to bring something bad. No way. No way. She can have four, maybe five friends in the house. No party.
Okay, so your compromise is this, is that no party, but four or five friends can come over, hang out, sleep over, you think is okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I trust my daughter. I just, once you get into the, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s with these kids coming over, you don't know who's gonna show up.
Yeah.
Especially with social media. I mean,
this party that would happen when you were not there, of the four or five kids, would that be a mixed group, boys and girls? Does it matter or what?
I mean, ideally, not really boys, but, yeah. You know.
But that's ideally, but not necessarily immovable. How far is this party that your friend is having, Amber?
How far? Oh, it's probably about like 20 minutes from the house, 20, okay. 25 minutes, not far.
I mean, the whole world can fall apart in 20 minutes.
I just think that you leave 50 kids in a backyard, 17 years old, even if you completely trust your daughter.
Yeah.
You don't think somebody's drinking? Of course they are. Like, I would love to think that it'll never happen, but I don't know how you roll those dice and think that nothing is going to happen when you're not there. If you're there, that's already really taking a chance. I mean, how do you please 50 kids when you're not home?
Listen, me and my friends at the age 17, yeah, we were rolling around as agents of chaos. And Halloween with the parents not home? Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. On the other hand, you know, I'm sure that there's a part of you that's just thinking, Amber, is that, you know, I won't have to worry about my daughter being out there driving with her friends or somebody else that's in a risky situation that day. At least, you know, if they're close to home, you feel like you can control some of that. But I don't know if whether or not the voters are going to agree with you.
Why don't we see what the audience has to say? Would you let your daughter that you trust wholeheartedly have a party with 50 people in the backyard on Halloween?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Ann and Raven.
Would you let your 17-year-old daughter have 50 people over only in the backyard for a Halloween party if you are not even going to be home? But she's a good kid. Her friends are good. Let them hang out in the backyard. It'll be all right.
Yeah, Damien says, that's crazy. That doesn't mean anything to me. Yes, our daughter is good, but things will get out of control and out of hand real quick. Amber says, it's no big deal. We've got cameras. She wants to go to her friend's party. Amber wants to go to her friend's party, which is about 20 minutes away from the house. Damien says, you got to be out of your mind.
Would you let your daughter have the party? 1-800-330-9999. Frankie, who's side are you on?
Father's absolutely 110% right. Been there, done that. We were home, and we had to end the party early. And like the father said, the problem is social media. My girl, my daughter, really good kid. There's no doubt. Honor student. The whole package. Well, guess what? Social media, they invite all their friends. People that she didn't invite came over.
Horrible. Wow.
And forget about the liability.
Yeah.
That's a whole other story.
I think I remember your party. Anna and I showed up.
Yeah, it was
everybody
great.
Everybody knew it.
Good
everybody
time.
Everybody knew that was happening.
You were the first guys that had to kick out.
Yeah.
Thanks, Frank.
Thanks. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Your 17-year-old daughter came to you, and she really wanted to have a Halloween party. Just 50 people in the backyard. They don't have to come in the house. They're all going to behave. She's a good kid. Would you let them? The Couples Court verdict is presented by T-Mobile. It's better over here. See how at T-Mobile.com/magenta status.
Yeah. When I was a teenager, I had a party for about 50 friends. We lit the deck on fire and it collapsed.
Good. Yeah, that worked out well.
Somebody slept in my bathtub and they ate all my Fruity Pebbles.
It's terrible.
That was a tough, tough ride there. Damien says, it's not going to happen in our house. No way, no how. She can have like four of her friends come over, sleep over that night. That's fine. If a couple of them are boys, they can hang out during their time for trick-or-treating. And then after that, it's over and lights out and we'll be home.
Yeah, did we also mention that they don't plan on being home?
Right.
Yeah, they're going to a party that they have scheduled for themselves.
Yeah, Amber's like, it's going to be a carefree night. We're going to be fine.
Yeah, Amber says they're going to be fine. They're good. Kids, they're not going inside the house and they're just going to hang out. What's the difference? They need a place to go. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Darlena.
Oh my God, there's no question about that. Their mom is just, are you kidding? They're 8, 17, they're not even adult yet. 50 people? I don't think so.
Yeah.
100% with the husband's side.
Anything
can go wrong there. Anything can go wrong no matter what.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you're right, Darlene. It's asking for trouble. Hi, Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Oh, my God. Oh my God. Hi. Hi, this is Ellie.
Ellie, whose side are you on?
I'm on the bus. I'm on the mom's side. I think that the daughter should have the party.
Really?
Right.
I think that they should, like, let her have it because it's Halloween. Mm-hmm. So, like I get maybe if it was, like, a random day, but it's Halloween, so everyone will be having a party.
Right.
If they have the cameras, they should be able to trust her. But if she does break their trust, then they just don't let her have it again.
Right. How old are you, Ellie?
I'm 14.
Right. That's
pretty well thought out answer, though. YOLO, 6'7".
Yes.
6'7". How about it, Ann Raven, what do you think about this? Who's siding on today?
No, you can't do it. Don't do it. Don't
have a party.
You don't have enough insurance. You don't have enough insurance to cover the liability that's going to happen.
Right.
Somebody's getting the house. They got to use the bathroom. You're screwed.
Thanks.
You guys are screwed.
Right. Somebody got to go to the bathroom. Forget it. Just go outside in the woods.
That's right.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Damien, our audience agreed with you. It's a bad idea, Amber. It's one thing if you would be home. You're not going to be home, so it really becomes a non-issue and a non-discussion.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it in that perspective, I can see why, you know, I should probably be a little more cautious, but I mean, I don't know. I just felt like I was a shelter kid and I wanted a little more freedom, so I wanted to give that for my child, but... Yeah, I guess I can take that into consideration.
Good behavior is worth rewarding, right? I believe that, you know, faith is something that feels good on both sides. I totally get that. The simple fact is you're not going to be home, so the liability is huge. Mm-hmm. If you guys aren't there to, you know, keep track of these things or whatever, it's the first people that they would point to if something were to go wrong. So, Damien, don't worry. The house should be fine.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a relief. You know, I'm even nervous about the 4 or 5 kids in the house without us, but I'll take the compromise.
Yeah. Right. All right. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,200. All right, TJ, you ready to play today?
Yes.
All right, let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, man. $2,200.
All right, thank you.
All right, here's how it works, TJ. Raven's walking out of here. That door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Whatever you do, don't try to Google the answer. Ready to play?
Yes.
Number one, a 90-minute, 30-year reunion special of the show that starred Ray Romano as a sports writer for Newsday will air on CBS next month. What show was that?
Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank.
That's time. Number two, remember, just guess if you're not sure. First thing that comes to your head. Number two, the top trending Halloween costumes from the past decade include 2023's Weird Barbie from, obviously, the movie Barbie, Joe Exotic in 2020 from Tiger King, and in 2018, it was Skull Trooper from what video game?
Grand Theft Auto.
Number three, Jamie Lee Curtis is ranked the Scream Queen by horror fans. She played Laurie Strode in what horror franchise?
Halloween.
Number four, a new Dr. Seuss book is coming out in June, just in time for America's 250th birthday. It's called Sing the 50 United States, and it stars the Cat in the Hat. In the Cat in the Hat, what's the weather like outside?
I should know that. Cloudy and gray.
Number five, Elon Musk launched his own competitor to Wikipedia, the informational site. What's it called?
I got nothing.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. Let's go. Come on, come on.
Yo.
I'm waving. TJ got one.
Oh, not good, TJ. Let's see. Maybe they're really hard. Here we go.
Number one, a 90-minute, 30-year reunion special of the show that starred Ray Romano as a sports writer for Newsday is going to air on CBS next month. What show was that?
I don't know.
Everybody Loves Raymond.
Everybody Loves Raymond. Okay, yeah.
I mean, what? It's Ray Romano.
Yeah, you know, I didn't watch that one. I'm sorry.
All right, number two, the top trending Halloween costumes from the past decade include 2023's Weird Barbie, Joe Exotic in 2020 from The Tiger King, and in 2018, it was Skull Trooper from what video game?
Is it Fortnite?
Fortnite is right.
Yeah.
Number three, Jamie Lee Curtis is ranked the Scream Queen of Horror by fans.
Well deserved.
She played Laurie Strode in what horror franchise?
Halloween.
Yes. Number four, a new Dr. Seuss book is coming out in June, just in time for America's 250th birthday. Mm-hmm. It's called Sing the 50 United States.
Okay.
And it stars the Cat in the Hat.
All right.
In the Cat in the Hat, what's the weather like outside?
Oh, it's, is it rainy, right?
Yeah, it's raining. Mm-hmm. And number five, Elon Musk launched his own competitor to Wikipedia. What's his called?
I have no idea.
Grokopedia.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right.
Yep. TJ, 3-1 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Maybe just save that money, Elon.
No, yes, he says it so much. He doesn't care.
I know, but starting...
He was mad that Wikipedia posted the picture of him with the Nazi salute, and he says that he wanted to create something that was more fact-checked, because in Wikipedia, anybody can post whatever they want.
Yeah, he said he was just waving, right? That's what he said?
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. Whatever. Sorry, TJ, you're going to get a t-shirt, though.
I cannot beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $2,300 tomorrow, Anna.
I want to thank Michael. He supplied one of the questions I used today. And if you have an idea for a question too, annaandraven.com.